moving targets. And to one generation, nature itself, because that's what Paul appeals to when he's talking about the hair, nature itself seems to teach one thing that is not so readily observed in another time and in another place. I think about the things that we were all sure about when I was a kid that my kids just don't seem to get. So how do we provide a welcoming and inclusive environment for all to experience and connect with God through the Holy Spirit in our day? Well, probably at best, we will do it imperfectly. Yet this is an aspirational goal we must pursue with vigor. Otherwise, we say with our mouths that we want to proclaim Jesus as Creator, Redeemer, and Sovereign. But if our actions prevent anyone except us from hearing it, that's a fail. Now, there is an elephant in the room today. How does this statement of mission apply to the business meeting we are having later? Well, the short answer, I guess we're all about to find out. But to that end, let me speak to at least one piece of all this, the concept of membership. It seems to me that membership was one of those things that developed in the context of seeking to do all things decently and in good order, and particularly in our case as Adventists, because a key means by which the church functions and makes decisions is based on membership. And in a sense, the concept of membership is intuitively obvious. Find a means to easily identify who is a participating, contributing part of the community of faith and who is not. But this is where, in our case, it gets tricky. Now, other churches have chosen to deal with this in different ways. There is the Episcopal approach. The Episcopal approach is Father knows best. See, that whole name, Episcopal, comes from the Greek word episkopos, which means bishop or overseer. And at the end of the day, all of the really hard questions are answered by the righteous leader. Father knows best. You can understand when you get into a really tough, contentious scenario, that would be a nice little way out, wouldn't it? Well, there's another name for it. Papalism. Father knows best. So we're not Episcopal, but then neither are we Presbyterian. That one means fathers know best. You see, Presbyterian comes from the word presbyteros, which means elders. And in that church tradition, it is a group of elders who decide what is righteous. Well, maybe that's a little more open to participation than the narrowness of the Episcopal model, but that's not our model either. We've gone for something messier. Our model is called priesthood of believers. Authority rests with the membership. The catch-22 of all this, who the membership is decides what's important, and the mechanism is democracy. And that is all good and well enough when the church, both local and denominational, is monocultural or monoculturally dominated. Everything in that situation is clear and simple, if not sometimes a touch oppressive. Think of Jerusalem Christianity in the days of Paul. It was clear. It was simple. Then along comes diversity, Antioch, and messes it all up. Just ask the Jewish believers in Jerusalem who are being told they had to abandon as no longer significant the act of circumcision, the sign given Abraham as an everlasting covenant in the flesh to distinguish God's people from heathens. One of the funniest things to me about the Bible is the one thing they vote you don't have to do, we all get circumcised anyway. What in the world? Why is that our tradition? We're Gentiles. They said we didn't have to. We did it anyway. Maybe it was a good idea. I wonder how many believers left the church after the circumcision decision. This is why I keep harping on what I believe is the key principle needed to keep us united in this day. What unites us at our core must be stronger than what divides us in the real world. And what is at our core? Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is the core. It seems that as a people, we are agreed on being welcoming and inclusive when it comes to the fellowship, applying rules that say pretty much anyone can come through the doors, attend a connect group and participate, and stay for fellowship lunch as long as they don't cause disruption to our definitions of all things being done decently and in good order. And let me just say, we have had people who have come through the doors who have sought to attend a different class and has caused a disruption because they didn't do things decently and in good order like we thought they should. And so they were spoken to, and now they don't do those things. But the line we don't seem to be so easily agreed upon is the line of membership. And when it comes to this issue, there are at least five principles or values that seem to drive us. And in general, I think we all have all five of these, but we have them in different orders. And that affects our opinions. For example, when it comes to membership, there are those who I would say belong to the category of justice warriors. And in their mind, they say, who are we to judge another man's servant? It is before God that we all stand or fall. How can we reject what God has accepted? It was a good text. But we also have those who, let's call them those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And in their mind, they think we must never knowingly allow the bride of Christ to be besmirched by accepting anything into the church that is known to be evil. Yeah, and I'm with that too. That's good. Then we have the merciful. He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. God forgives, so do we. Every one of us is broken. We all carry our brokenness in. Why are we pointing out one brokenness against another? How do we even know what brokenness is? The merciful. I've needed them many times in my life. We have the loyalist. As an organization, to maintain decency and good order, we have to have rules that we jointly establish and jointly follow. Yes, kids sing there. No, kids, don't come up on the platform. Rules for decency and good order. We can change the rules, but until we do, we need to follow the rules. It's a compelling argument. And then we have the pragmatist. There's nobody that the seekers of righteousness and the justice warriors hate more than the pragmatist, because they don't seem to care about the issue. They just care about the outcome. What course of action would be most likely to benefit the most people while causing the least harm? All of these values we all hold. I know you have all of those in you somewhere. Merciful's a little low for me. Apologies. But I got most of the rest of them. Each of these views is correct sometimes. Each can lead us to truly being a people who provide a welcoming and inclusive environment for all to experience and connect with God through the Holy Spirit. And each can at times become a barrier to us being a welcoming and inclusive environment. So how do we wrap this up? Well, band, if you're brave enough, come on back up. If not, just go ahead and head home. How do we wrap it up? I suppose today's statement of mission is simple enough and clear enough, even if we don't necessarily all mean the same thing when we say it. I think we can agree on the words. We just might not agree on what it means. And it is valid to point out that fellowship that enables connection to God through the Holy Spirit and official membership don't have to be the same thing. Though this distinction will always be easiest for the pragmatists and the loyalists and potentially those very concerned over righteousness. But the merciful and the justice warriors will find it abhorrent. But enough about the elephant in the room specifically. This is the challenge for sure of this day, but it isn't a challenge bigger than the calling. We will make a decision and we will experience the consequences of that decision regardless of what we decide. Yet there is a voice that reaches far beyond the struggles and the controversies of our time, or the time of the founders of this church, or the dark times of the Middle Ages, or even over the struggles of the early church. It is the voice of invitation, the voice of the church and of the Lord. Revelation 22, verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Provide a welcoming and inclusive environment for all to experience and connect with God through the Holy Spirit. May God help us as we seek to apply this statement of mission justly, righteously, mercifully, loyally, and pragmatically. So today, our diversity will lead us to a decision some of us will love and some of us will hate. And we will be tested in the aftermath whether or not we can continue in fellowship with those people. My prayer is that everyone will stay in the game, in the struggle, in the consequences. Whatever they are, it is not for no reason that the Lord has assembled this particular group of people in this place at this time. It's not news when a group with widely varying views disintegrates. It's not news. It's typical. But it is nothing short of a testimony to the connecting power of the gospel when a community with widely different views stays together. And when this is over, May that be the story God has told through us.